Well, we're in Genesis 45. And when Ephesians 1:11 says that God works all things after the counsel of his will, from Joseph's life, we have learned many lessons. If one accurately sets forth God's truth, he may be hated. And if one is faithful to God, he says no to temptation, that may bring immediate hardship rather than promotion. And it may take years before God elevates one faithful to him. Faithfulness to God eventually brings some great reward. And God literally fulfills prophecy. His brothers did bow. It's not wrong to require there has been true repentance. But of all the lessons we may learn, this next one is probably the most significant. The thing that enabled Joseph to completely forgive and restore his family when they had done such terrible things to him was the sovereignty of God. And when one is faithful to God, it's his realization that God is sovereign that will enable him to cope with anything in life and enable him to forgive and restore those who have wronged him. The key to Joseph's stability was the sovereignty of God. The key to Joseph's forgiveness was the sovereignty of God. Joseph was faithful to God. He knew God controlled all negative things that happened to him because he was leading him to where he wanted him to be. So notice how often Joseph uses the noun God in these verses. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Verses 1 through 8 of Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it. And the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." This context is critical. Joseph had just listened to Judah describe how he loved his father and brother more than his own life. Josephus says that this reality so overwhelmed Joseph that he could no longer personate an angry man. Joseph's response to Judah's sacrificial offer was very emotional. He broke down and wept in front of everyone, and he dismissed all except his brothers. And according to verse 2, he wept so loud that all in the house of Pharaoh heard it or heard about it. There's a man named Dr. Alan Ross who said the Hebrew words used here describe a real emotional outburst. The thing that prompted all this was that Joseph realized his family was finally right with God and with each other, and that they had truly repented. Joseph identified himself to his brothers. And the first thing he wants to know is whether or not his father is still alive. Now, this is significant because it immediately demonstrated that Joseph's interest was not one of personal vindication, but rather family reconciliation. Joseph was not interested in getting even, but in getting the family back together. These brothers were speechless and dismayed. That word dismayed means that these brothers were so frightened by what they had just heard, that they were trembling and even had thoughts of running because they thought they would perish. The particular verb dismayed is a nephil stem verb in Hebrew, which means these brothers viewed this news as reciprocal action. They viewed this as reflexive action, which was now coming back upon them because of what they had previously done. And we get an amazing glimpse of the secret of Joseph's life, and we learn how deep theology, such as the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, is practically working out in real life situations. Joseph called his brothers to him, and he encouraged them not to grieve or fear, because everything had been orchestrated by the sovereign God. God had specifically directed Joseph to Egypt so he could preserve Israel. Joseph saw all of this as God's sovereign program, and even when he was experiencing negative things, he knew God was in control and leading him. So Joseph instructs his brothers. Look at verses 9 through 13. "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.'" Joseph immediately gave his brothers an assignment, namely, go get Dad. And the first message Joseph wanted communicated to his father was that God had been in control of his life and had blessed him and elevated him. For over 22 years, Joseph thought about his life and realized God had directed every step of it. Joseph requested that his father and children and grandchildren pack everything up and move to Goshen, which is the name of a region located in Egypt on the north side of the northeast side of the Nile. Some of the best land in Egypt. He's given the best to those who have wronged him. This is not simple restoration, but restoration to blessing. And Joseph would personally nourish all the family there during the 5 remaining years of famine. He wanted these brothers to testify that they had seen Joseph in all his glory and quickly bring his father to him. And then he touches his brothers. Look at verses 14 and 15. "Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." Josephus claims that when Joseph finished his speech, all his brothers were in tears. Tears of thankfulness, sorrow, remorse, and happiness. It had taken 29 years, but this family was now finally united because this family was finally right with God. The thing that kept Joseph so calm, so wise, so faithful, so elevated, so usable was his concept of and relationship with Almighty God. Joseph could cope with anything and could forgive anyone because of God's sovereignty. He proclaimed the truth of God because of God's sovereign work in his life. He forgave others because of God's sovereign direction in his life. If one is trying to cover sin or run from making things right here against a sovereign God who will track you down, but if one will face sin, admit sin, confess sin, that some sovereign God will permit you to experience his grace and lead you to wonderful blessings. The thing that enabled Joseph to forgive his brothers and bless his brothers was the fact that they admitted their sin and guilt. And that's the story of Joseph's family. That can be our story too. But it's a traumatic request to ask Israel, who is a 130-year-old man, Jacob, to move to Egypt from Canaan, because Canaan was a land that God had given to Israel. Canaan was a land in which Jacob worshipped God. Canaan was a land to which God appeared to Jacob. Canaan was land in which God prospered Jacob. Canaan was a land in which God protected Jacob. Canaan was the land God had promised to give Jacob. So from a divine, prophetic perspective, it's God's perfect will for Israel and his family to move from Canaan to Egypt. And God has sovereignly directed all those circumstances. So when God wants to sovereignly move his people, he will make it clear by causing key, powerful leaders to physically and tangibly demonstrate it's the right thing to do. The fact that it was right to move was demonstrated emotionally, verbally, financially, and spiritually. So we see the response of Pharaoh. Look at verse 16. "When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, 'Joseph's brothers have come,' it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt and you shall eat the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. That noun, Pharaoh, comes from the Egyptian word that means the royal palace. The title came to refer to the Egyptian king who had a right to reside at the royal palace. And Egyptian king was thought to be divine, and the pyramids and the tombs located in the Valley of Kings were built to ensure the survival of the king's influence after he died. God had turned Pharaoh's heart to exalt Joseph and now to accept Joseph's family. When Pharaoh learned that Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt, he responded in these three positive ways. He responded in a positive emotional way. That word pleased means this development pleased him to the extent that it made him emotionally cheerful. In fact, the Hebrew word pleased comes from the same Hebrew root as the word best. Pharaoh was so pleased that he wanted Joseph's family to have the best of everything. He responded in a positive verbal way. He verbally ordered Joseph to load supplies and to take Egyptian wagons to go and get them, and said they were to have the best of everything, including the best land in Egypt. And he responded in a positive, tangible way. He gives Joseph's family food and expenses for travel, and he promises them they will eat the best of food in Egypt. He gives the finest Egyptian wagons to move them. He tells them to leave everything. The word goods includes utensils, clothing, vessels, implements, tools, arms, and weapons. Pharaoh will give them everything. Talk about a company taking good care of its employee. Pharaoh is taking care of all his relatives, and this was all due to the blessings of God. Joseph is not begging for this or trying to manipulate Pharaoh to do this. This is God doing this. And then we see the response of Joseph in verse 21. The sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the journey. To each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed he said to them, do not quarrel on the way. He responded emotionally. He had wept and kissed all his brothers. He responded verbally. He told his brothers not to grieve because God had sent him to Egypt and wanted him to take care of them. And he responded obediently. Joseph obeyed Pharaoh, which, as John Phillips said, proves that Joseph had not only forgiven the sin against him, but he had also forgotten it. He responded tangibly. He gave his brothers wagons, provisions, and clothing. And he gave Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver plus 5 changes of clothing. He gave his father 10 male and 10 female donkeys loaded with the best supplies and grain and food. He responded instructively. Joseph warned them not to quarrel on the journey. Joseph wanted unity with his family, and he knew they would argue and quarrel, probably over the fact that Benjamin received more than they did. So the response of Jacob was this, verse 25. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, Joseph is still alive, and he's ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. The word stunned means that Jacob's heart became cold. He did not believe Joseph was alive. When he saw the wagons, he knew it was true. God gives his family times, feasts and times of famine, physically and spiritually. God controls all circumstances concerning all people, both positive and negative, and he will make it clear, very clear, when it comes time to move. And faithfulness to God will always pay rich dividends.